All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you, digging deeper into the pretext of Revelation, looking at some of the major interpretations that are out there in the world before we get into what is the proper interpretation. This week, we look at the futurist interpretation, that everything in Revelation is in the future. This is the one that is the most prominent among evangelicals today. This is where the bulk of jargon for Revelation is found. Chiliasm, millennium, rapture, premillennialism, postmillennialism, dispensationalism, the Great Tribulation. All these are found here and will be used as we interpret the book of Revelation simply to help us know how these things fit in. But just to give a few definitions. Millennialism and chaolism come from the Latin and the Greek respectively for 1,000. It is the focus on the 1,000-year reign of Christ in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. The focus on this one passage in Revelation paints the entirety of the futurist interpretation. In every variation of the futurist interpretation, the rapture is one of the key events in human history. Even with the importance of the rapture in this interpretation of Revelation, there is such a great difference as to when the rapture happens. There are at least six different times in the Revelation timeline that are proposed for the rapture. Pre-trib, premillennial. The rapture happens first in the grand scheme of Revelation. This is the belief in the Left Behind series, that when the rapture happens, when all the Christians are taken out of the world, then Revelation happens. Second is the premillennial post-trib, that the 7 years of the Great Tribulation happened before Jesus takes the Christians out of the world in order to have a large following when he returns for the millennium. Postmillennial pre-trib. Christ reigns on earth for 1,000 years before taking the Christians out of the world before the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation serves as the time when Satan is released from prison in Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. The fourth one is postmillennial post-trib. Everything in Revelation happens, with the rapture being the final event before Christians enter heaven for eternity. The fifth one is premillennial or postmillennial mid-trib. The final 2 points in the timeline require the rapture to happen at the absolute midpoint of the Great Tribulation. This is taken from Revelation 11:12, when the two witnesses are taken up into heaven after being raised from the dead. So as I said, we have a lot of variety in what this could mean. And we'll break it down a little more into, especially, as I said, the biggest stripe of this being what is called premillennial dispensationalism. This is the belief of the Left Behind series and the late great planet Earth of Hal Lindsey. Premillennialism is the belief that Christ will come again to reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. He will reign with the risen martyrs and the faithful Christians being his assistants, very much like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon. The reign will be a reign of righteousness and universal peace, followed by the great white throne judgment. According to Eusebius, the church historian, Papias originated the concept of premillennialism about 125 AD. So this is not a new thing. This is not something that was just made up last century. It can also be found in the writings of Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, and Tertullian. Today, it is widely considered to be the proper interpretation of Revelation among evangelicals. Dispensational premillennialism was originated by John Darby. In this view, there are seven ages or dispensations in human history: innocence, conscience, human government, promise, the law of Moses, church, and kingdom. C.I. Schofield popularized dispensationalism through the publication of his study Bible. In dispensationalism, the land of Israel is the central focus of all human history. The biggest problem with dispensationalism is the idea that Jesus set up the church as a plan B because the Jews refused to listen to him. The major problems with any variety of premillennialism are numerous. Number one, 1 Corinthians 15, 23-25 teaches that Jesus is reigning over his kingdom right now. That is what he is doing, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Number two, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 teaches that Jesus will not come back to earth at all. The faithful Christians will join him. The dead and the living will meet him in the air. This is the original passage for the idea of the rapture. Problem number three, Acts chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 1 show that Christ began reigning at his ascension. Point number four, Jerusalem is not mentioned at all in Revelation 20. Number five, David's throne and God's throne are one and the same. So Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established, 1 Kings 2:12. In the parallel account, then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king in place of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him, 1 Chronicles 29:23. Number six, the law of Moses, especially the civil and ceremonial portions, was abolished when Christ shed his blood on the cross. Number seven, God purposed the church from the very beginning. St. Paul tells the Ephesians, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Ephesians 3, 8-12. Number eight, if the church is not God's kingdom for all eternity, why does Jesus say, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16:18. The idea of a second chance after the rapture contradicts Hebrews 9, verses 27 to 28. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ has been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly wait for him. These are just nine of the numerous problems with any flavor of premillennialism, is that there's so much in scriptures that talks against it. All right, postmillennialism, kind of waning, I believe. This is the belief that Christ will reign on earth through the church before the Great Tribulation. Postmillennialism is likely the least popular, as I said. The major doctrinal foci of postmillennialism are social gospel doctrines to establish the millennium. That Jesus can't come back until the church takes over the world. Postmillennialism can be found in the writings of John Calvin and C.H. Spurgeon, but their writings often disagree with themselves. The primary commentator in favor of postmillennialism is B.B. Warfield. In every millennialist interpretation, the Great Tribulation is a literal seven-year period where the Antichrist reigns on earth. During these 7 years, Christianity will be outlawed. Everything that can be against Christ is celebrated. Depending on which flavor of millennialism, the outcome of the Great Tribulation differs. The greatest issue with this understanding of the Great Tribulation is that it gives everyone on earth a second chance with a definite timeline. Once you know the Great Tribulation has started, you know you have 7 years. How many of us, given that knowledge, are going to wait 6 years and 364 days, party it up, live like everything else, to then repent on that last day? Because we know it's the last day. But Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour, except God the Father. In closing for this week, the greatest issue with all of the futurist interpretations is the idea that there will be a major event that will mark the beginning of Revelation. Revelation is simply seen as what's going to happen basically the last 7 years of this age. That is, in any branch of the futurist interpretation, that is the focus, the Great Tribulation. But as we will see as we go through Revelation, we are in the Great Tribulation right now. As we will see in our study of Revelation, we are in the millennial reign of Christ right now, both at the same time, because Christ is ruling over his kingdom, and the devil is bringing out everything he can against him, just as he has from the very beginning, from the fall into sin, from that one little question, did God really say? And he's still asking the question today. That is truly the question we have to wrestle with every single day. Did God really say? Well, is it in Scripture? If it is, does it say it in a way that makes sense in the context that it's in? And if so, then there it is. If not, put it aside. It is not worth thinking of if it does not agree with Scripture or with itself. And as we've seen, even in the writings of the millennialist, their writings don't even agree with each other. But that's it for this week. I thank you for being here listening to me. I encourage you to continue every Thursday as we go through the book of Revelation. I think as I mapped it out, we're talking about probably 2 years of going through this. Hopefully faster, but trying to keep a good balanced understanding of what is being talked about while also referencing the scriptures that it talks about and the people who have talked about it, and trying to keep it to 15 to 20 minutes a week, it may take that long because there is just that much stuff in Revelation, which is why pastors truly dislike teaching it, because there is just so much to teach. But I'm glad to teach. I'm glad to have this opportunity and this vehicle to help in any way that it is, so that you may wrestle with the theology around you, and as we together wrestle with the theology in Revelation. Amen.